5:16 now in the afternoon. You got it on K-Hum, which is Radio Without the Rules. And I mentioned a little while ago that there's a great show tonight up at the Palm Lounge at the Eureka Inn. Jimbo Mathis and the Tri-State Coalition are going to be playing. And that is a show you want to go to. And just to further cement that idea, I'm very happy and honored to be joined on the phone by Jimbo Mathis, who's pulled over somewhere between here and Reno. Hi, Jimbo.
Hey, good afternoon, Larry. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I really appreciate it. I know you're on the road and you're trying to get to the gig, so I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us.
Yeah, man, we're doing a little Sasquatch hunting while we're at it.
I heard you. What was it? You saw a Sasquatch at Trader Vic's? Or,
yeah. I saw a Sasquatch with a Chinese menu in his
hand.
That's
it. His hair was perfect. Well, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. I mentioned you're going to be here with your band, Tri-State Coalition, at the Palm Lounge. Tell me a little something about this band.
It's a band I've been working with now. The past 4 or 5 years, and it's really the main thing I've been doing is putting out these records on Fat Possum Records. It's a record label in Mississippi, you know, where I live. And they started out doing things like R.L. Burnside and Junior Kimbrough, and then they put out the first Black Keys record. You know, a lot of people have heard of Black Keys. Just a cool, groovy, little, funky, redneck label down south. And they've been promoting me and encouraging me to keep writing and keep a band on the road, you know. And so that's what I've been doing, man. And this is my first time up in Northern California. I think the last time I played up this area was over in Redding with Buddy Guy, and that's been probably 12 years ago. So it's been a minute.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you here. And I think you'll like it up here. It's a little bit rainy sometimes, but it sure is pretty up here. So
it's beautiful, man. We've been really enjoying it. We drove in from over towards from Redding, and it's just really lovely, man. We're so excited, and they kind of just did a little pop up gig for us here at the Palm Lounge tonight. We weren't really scheduled, and then we had a night off, and it sort of fell in our lap. So we're real excited, man, and hope to see some people. I got some friends up in this neck of the woods, so hope to be seeing some people.
Good deal.
Yeah.
I think that probably most people will be familiar with you through your band, the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
But you've
been in a number of different bands, and sort of the range of music that you've played over the course of your career is varied, to say the least. I was reading that one of your first bands you formed when you were a kid, maybe even still in high school, was in Mississippi called Johnny Vomit and the Dry Heaves.
Yeah, that was one of my least popular acts that I put together.
it wins the prize for the best band name, though.
It was a cultural wasteland there when I grew up, and I was just trying to do something to shock the people, and I succeeded. But you're right. You know, most people know about the Squirrel Nut Zippers, and that's a band that I formed and put together and basically brainstormed, and I was the principal writer and, you know, singer and the main monkey for the Zippers. And that, you know, that was all through the 90s, and right around 2000 we broke up. And I started working with Buddy Guy, and so I did the blues thing for off and on for, well, I still, you know, I still have a lot of blues elements in my music. But I guess the unifying thing, Larry, is just it's American music is what I've been playing. If it's either be the Squirrel Nut Zippers with Buddy Guy, with North Mississippi All-Stars, or any of the groups that I collaborate with, it's American music, and particularly a Southern player, you know, and that's the thread that runs through it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you something along those lines, because you mentioned you're from Mississippi, and I think people can hear a sort of Southern drawl in your voice.
Sure.
And that is when I think of that part of the world, I think of a very sort of pervasive culture. It's hard for me to find what exactly it is, but, you know, I mean, if you read Faulkner or, you
Faulkner.
Know, Tennessee Williams, I mean, there's a core sort of Southernness that permeates everything. And that's
our core, Mac McCarthy, Eudora Welty. I mean, a lot of great literature and a lot of funky culture, man. You're right. There's a thing. Of course, it's the home of things like Muddy Waters and Bo Diddley and a lot of the rudiments of rock and roll and American music. Elvis, you know, for crying out loud. So, I mean, it's harbored culturally. It's spawned some great things, and socially and economically, it's at the bottom of the barrel,
yeah.
You know, but there's just such great things that come from it. And it's very, it's hard to figure out why. And I've spent the first 47 years of my life trying to figure that out.
I mean, in my mind, that it became part of the reason it became what it is, and the culture developed in the way it is precisely because it's at the bottom of the economic barrel. I mean,
yeah.
You have to pull together. There's
the
a community that is necessary under those conditions.
I agree, and I think you know, you get a lot of eccentrics and people who are sort of having to operate in isolation. And I think that isolation is also an encouragement, you know, somehow. It's a great area. You know, I love it. It's got a lot of problems. But if you look at the contribution to even sports in America and culture in America, it's been quite a main contributor to that.
I put food on the list, too.
I would put the cuisine on there as well.
Yeah.
You know, Southern cooking is just, you know, just make you slap your mama. It's so good, you know. But you know, it's a never ending source of inspiration to me.
Yeah.
And my writing and my style and approach to what I bring to other states and other regions, countries even that I visit, you know. And so, man, it's just an honor to see the way other people do it and to try to bring something to the table. That's what I'll be doing tonight at the Palm Lounge, you know, just doing my Southern thing, you know.
All right. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Jimbo Mathus, who's going to be with his band, the Tri-State Coalition, at the Palm Lounge tonight. You mentioned playing with the North Mississippi All-Stars, and I know that you also, in addition to you know, making music, you've produced people and you have a studio and you've recorded folks. Did you know Jim Dickinson, legendary producer? Did you learn anything from him if you didn't know him?
Man, very much so. He's one of my main mentors. So, yes, I learned a lot of philosophy of music, a lot of philosophy of the studio and a lot of philosophy of Southern music. And spirituality of it as well. I learned from Jim. I had the honor of knowing him a good over a decade, you know. Almost two decades now that I think about it. And there's not a day goes by I don't think about him. But for those listeners who don't know, he's kind of an underground dude. But his sons are the North Mississippi All-Stars, Luther and Cody Dickinson, who most people are familiar with, right? And Jim, you know, he's a producer there in Memphis, and he really just worked regionally, but he was responsible for a lot of Ry Cooder's stuff and a lot of played piano on Wild Horses by the Rolling Stones, you know, when they're in Muscle Shoals. And he produced Big Star and Alex Chilton and The Replacements, and the list goes on and on and on.
Oh, they're just hugely influential many different areas of rock and roll.
Yeah, and so that was a huge blessing. He'd been dead and gone now a few years, but, you know, as his last words are, I'm just dead. I'm not gone, you know, so.
You know, in fact, I just played a song by Amy Levere off a record that he produced.
I think I might be on that record.
Is that right?
Well, I wrote songs for Amy's first record. I wrote a couple of songs. This World Is Not My Home. I don't know which one Jim produced, but
Anchors and Anvils.
Anvils. I think I got some song writing credit on that as well.
All right.
You know, but man, cool. Yeah. So you got a pretty cool little music show then.
Well, it jumps around a little bit, but that's to me that's a good thing. I know you got to get back on the road, so I won't keep you. But I want to say something to you because it's a special pleasure of mine and an honor to be talking to you because I lived in D.C.
Yes.
In the early, for a long time, but this took place in the early 90s. And a friend of mine gave me a cassette tape, a bootleg cassette tape of a band. And I'd never heard of the band, but I put it in my little Iowa Walkman and listened to it. And I listened to that record. I mean, this is literally true every single day for probably the next year and a half. I mean, I would,
holy moly,
I would, you know, take the subway to work, and I'd have it on my, you know, listen to it in the subway, and it became and remains to this very day one of my very, very favorite records, and it's called Beyond the Java Sea. You may remember that. So I stole music from you because that was a home that was a home copy, but I went and bought the CD later on. So
Well, it was probably only cassettes at that time.
Before CDs.
Well, man, you know, I've been in this game for a minute. I'll be 48 this August if I live, and man, I've just been cranking out music my whole life, man. And traveling and going out and taking it in front of people, man, this is my life's mission, you know. So I'm glad that I was able to do something to mean something to you, man, and to help you, you know, get through your thing.
It was a very important thing to me, and I love it to this very day. And
I appreciate it, buddy.
I think it underscores just the breadth of musical talent that you have, the many different styles you play in, and the great songwriting.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate that, man. And hope your listeners check out some of my music and check out my Facebook page, man. I got a pretty interesting Facebook page where I put up films, I put up photography, and put up music, of course, music. So that's just Jimbo Mathis, MATHUS, and then check me out, man, and maybe you'll get a little something that you need.
All right, Jimbo Mathis and the Tri-State Coalition tonight at the Palm Lounge. Jimbo, thank you a million times for taking some time to talk.
Thank you all, man. I really appreciate it. I'll see you out tonight.
All right, we'll see you then. Take care.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.